Coach, unfortunately, D'Aussi got caught up in customs.
It's more food for us.
Apparently, yeah, you know, I saw Steve over there.
Did you?
He told us out in the street.
Yeah, we were both making a deposit there at Harrods. So.
You weren't making the deposit. Yeah.
I heard he was floating over the stadium.
So he apparently got caught up in customs, so we brought the baseball player in Merlone today.
Yeah. So. Figured I'd grill you. I got a lot on my mind. I got to get out there.
Grill you. We're talking trash all day, too.
I'll bet.
So how was the trip?
Well, right
over?
Off the bat, you know, first want to, you know, wish the Celtics well tonight as they open their season.
They do.
It's a big one in Cleveland and long way to go. But, you know, Doc's, you know, he did a great job when he came in at the beginning of the season talking to our guys. And I know we all got a lot out of it. And so we're all pulling for him as they start off.
I was with Doc on Friday. He gave me the whole story of meeting with the players. Talking to your players and some of the stuff that was said back and forth. And they were talking about hotels and flying and stuff like that. It was very funny.
Does he bring you in now to talk to his team?
I have talked to his team, yeah, one time after a game. It was nice. They had a big win, and he invited me to say a few words. So that was pretty on. I don't think they need me. They look like they're doing fine.
Bill doesn't want to leave his courtside seats to go off.
Right.
So how was the trip? Obviously a very successful game on Sunday. You guys, was it worth it? Because I know this, when you look at that on the schedule and you say to yourself, God, we got to break away from what we normally do. We've got to go overseas and, you know, the customs and everything else. Was it worth it?
Yeah, well, it's a long haul to go for a game. You know, we're happy to be 5-2. We're happy to win yesterday or Sunday, whatever it was. but it's a long haul. There's no way around it. There's no way around, you know, traveling over there, making an adjustment. Time change, daylight savings time, playing a game, coming back, you know, adjusting again, getting back into the routine. But, you know, all that being said, it was a good experience there. I thought they did a good job with the game and the accommodations. Everything went pretty smoothly. And, you know, we're happy to come out on top. We'll take the win. And so now it's, you know, time to get back to work. And, you know, we got some tough games coming up ahead. But, you know, Miami division game here in the stadium, or we had a lot of trouble with them last year. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us. We got a lot of work to do. But it's good to be back, good to be 5-2. Huh? And, you know, now we'll look ahead to Miami.
How much different is it going 5 hours that way as opposed to going 5 hours west?
Well, I think the major difference is just the time you have to add at the beginning and the end of the flights for the international travel, the check-in and the, you know, the customs and the –
the language
at the other end and the, you know, the transportation and all that. Just, you know, just add some time to the travel, that's all.
We talked so much about this in the last few days because of the commissioner and the NFL talking about going over there. And I heard you made some comments after the game as well. Could you see the day that you have a team over here? And how could you do it, Bill, without having the whole division playing over here in Europe? How could you have like a single team or even two teams working off of the division where the rest of the teams are back here in the States?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know, I really, Glenn, just trying to coach the Patriots. Just trying to get the 6-2 now. I can't solve the whole.
You know what that means?
The whole league.
That means he's going to pass on this question. Yeah, move on to the next one.
It seemed like the noise during the game when you weren't playing was loud, but actually, I mean, you could at least over television. It sounded like during gameplay itself, stadium wasn't all that loud. I mean, I've heard louder sounding stadiums.
Yeah, I agree, Pete. Most of the noise was in between plays until the point in the third quarter where they started doing the wave, and then it was just constant.
Didn't that make you sick when you see
constant,
that?
Constant, yeah. And so, you know, normally after you've been on the sideline for 3 hours, whether you're home or away, you know, your head's kind of throbbing a little bit just from the noise and the pounding and all that. And so after this game, I would put that in the same category. You know, it was – There was constant noise, particularly in the third quarter, and in between plays, they revved it up.
Well, Bill, they seem to cheer at kicks because that's what they understand, right?
They like the kicks,
right? They like the extra points.
They get all excited about kicks.
Extra points, they were loud.
You notice that?
Yeah. Well, sometimes it was kind of random. You know, there were times when I was not watching the game, like over the defense or the offense behind the sideline, you hear a bunch of cheering. You turn around and you think something's going to happen, and it wasn't. So.
Cheerleaders.
Well, I'm not really sure what all the commotion was about, but it didn't seem to be about a play that had or hadn't occurred.
All right, let's get to the game, and let's start at the defensive side of the ball, because early on it seemed like you guys set the tempo. Obviously, the Merriweather pick early on in that game, but did, again, you seem to cause havoc to their offense early on in that game.
You know, we got them in a lot of long yardage situations, Glenn, and there were some second and longs, and there were some third and longs. We had some negative plays in the running game. Vince and Ty, Tully, Gerard, you know, all had some plays, disruptive plays that created second and third and long, and you know, that really helped our pass rush and our defensive play calling, where we were kind of ahead on the down and distance. So, you know, that was a good situation to be in, a little bit like it was in Tennessee the week before. You know, it's something we'd like to, you know, continue to work from, you know, being ahead in the count instead of, you know, the second and twos, second and threes. And we blitzed a little more in this game than we have in recent games. So we were able to hit the quarterback and cause some disruption both in the running game and the passing game.
Almost seemed like you forced him sometimes, even with a threat of the blitz, to unload quickly. He seemed to have to unload that ball earlier than he wanted to unload it.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that probably helped us in the game, too, was the job that McGowan did on Winslow. You know, he's really we felt like going into the game, he was the go-to guy in the passing game, that when Johnson got the ball, a lot of times he was looking for Winslow, and we felt like if we could, you know, take that away and make him go to his next read or even pull the ball down, that would kind of disrupt the passing game, and Brandon did a good job on that. And so did, you know, Tully and Derek Burgess and Gary Guyton of hitting Winslow at times to, you know, knock him off his timing on the route. But, you know, overall the coverage on Winslow probably had something to do with the rush and the pressure, as it usually does. You know, when the receivers aren't open, the rush gets there. When receivers are open, the rush is always late or there's never enough. So we had those working together this last week.
Tully bent the cane, seemed like he had a different gear. I mean, that was probably one of the better games I think we've ever seen. Was it more of him in a position to make the great plays, or did you just see something different from him this week?
You know, I think he's been playing well all year. I really do. I think he's done a real good job for us, and he played very well against you know, against Tampa Bay over there, who was disruptive in the running game and the passing game. I thought really the play he made on the screen pass is one of the best plays you know, we've had all year. He rushed. He got off on the ball. You know, he beat Penn on the snap. He almost got to the quarterback. Penn cut him right as the ball was released. He's about 7 yards across the line of scrimmage, got up, made a play for about a 6-yard gain downfield on 3rd and 12 or whatever it was. So, you know, those are the kind of plays that they don't really show up in the stats sheet, but, you know, they're terrific plays. But, you know, he had a tackle for a loss and about 3 or 4 pressures, and he was, you know, constantly in their backfield. So he did a real good job.
Coach, his ball key was tremendous. He was getting off the ball quicker, and he was able to do the spin back inside because he got big fatty moving upfield. But his anticipation of the snap, he was quicker than I have seen him. You know, it's not just he was playing well once the play was going. He was getting off the ball better than I'd seen him before, and he's coming down the line. A couple of those plays were coming down. They don't even block him. Yep. He made those plays from behind. I haven't seen that gear before. You've watched more than I, obviously, but he just seemed to be reading the ball and getting off quicker than I've seen him in the past.
He gets off on the ball pretty well, and I think he's been getting off on the ball very well all year, you know, starting with the Buffalo game and all the way through. He's playing with a lot of confidence. He's playing with a real good pad level that even when he contacts the blockers, you know, he's playing with good leverage, and he's usually, you know, generating the force on the hit rather than taking it. So, you know, he really running game, passing game. You know, we moved him around. Sometimes he's in on the tackle. Sometimes he's out there on the tight end, flip sides. You know, he's been a real versatile guy for us and very productive. And, you know, he's earning more playing time kind of on a weekly basis. And, you know, it seems like, you know, every game he's got good production.
Now, Merriweather on that interception, was he in his zone? Just looked like he was sitting in his zone. He read the quarterback's eyes and made a jump on the ball.
Right. It was a blitz zone. We brought 5 guys, and Brandon dropped down there in a 3-by-1 set. Brandon dropped down on the slot receiver, and you know, Johnson released the throw. He got a good break on it. And ran it in. So it was well timed up by Brandon. We kind of expected him. It was the third down play. Kind of expected him to kind of get the first down there, run a 5 or 6 yard route. That's Brandon. That's what they did, and he jumped it and, you know, made a nice play.
With Taylor and Morris not playing, would it be reading into it too much that you were trying to get a little bit more creative from a running game, from the standpoint of the running game, a couple of reverses you ran because Lawrence really, I mean, wasn't running the ball, it seemed particularly well again on Sunday, that you have to get more creative? Are you feeling that pressure?
No, I think really what happened in the game, Pete, was they played us a lot of 8-man front. They dropped Piscatelli down in the box a lot, and they were chasing hard off the backside. And they, you know, they gave us some problems coming from the backside several times. We started with the reverse, ran another one fairly early, and we thought that would slow them down a little bit. And we also tried to play action quite a bit. to take advantage of their aggressiveness in the running game. So on a lot of those runs, they kind of had one more guy than we had blockers, and there wasn't a whole lot of room to run, to be honest with you. And we felt like the reverses and the play actions would be able to take advantage of their aggressiveness in the running game. And you know, we got something out of the reverses, mm-hmm. and we hit some play actions. You know, we could have probably hit a couple more play actions. But you know, we didn't. But that was kind of the idea. It wasn't more to take it off the running back as much as it was to try to slow down the pursuit. And they were coming hard off the backside.
Now, but you also had a bunch of screens in that game.
Right,
that very
was
successful.
Right, yeah. The screens, the reverses, the play actions, kind of anything to get the defense running one way and then either bring them the other way or play action them or try to separate the defense, because they're a very hard pursuing team. They really hustle and they pursue hard at the ball, and so when you can get them going one way and screen them or draw them or reverse them or play action them, we felt like those would be good plays for us.
Now, the amount of points you scored in the last two games, is it the lack of competition or is it the team starting to get on the same page, the timing, the receiver and the quarterback and everything else? Because it's just the difference between the first few games and the last two games is just extraordinary.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, one thing certainly the turnovers. You know, anytime you turn a ball over and give the ball to the offense on a short field, that helps your chances. The other things have been the big plays. You know, we've hit some big plays in both the last two games. You know, long runs, long passes, catch and run plays. You know, we've had good punt returns in the last two games. So, you know, those plays where you can, you know, get a chunk of, you know, 20, 30, 40 yards on one play, you know, instead of having to run, you know, eight or nine plays to get that 40 yards, and increases your chances of scoring. And you know, yesterday we really didn't have a lot of opportunities in the red area. We scored from further out, you know, with Sam, you know, Wes on the slip screen, Ben, you know, we kind of went over the top of it, scored on defense. So, you know, we didn't have a lot of opportunities in the red area, but I think our red area offense and defense have improved a little bit too, and we have gotten a couple stops out of this.
Now, playing a couple of those teams, you know, maybe not high explosive offenses, how important is it? I mean, you guys jump all over them early on and make teams, like especially like a Tennessee team, coming out of their kind of game plan, running the football. Tampa Bay doesn't have that explosive offense either. How important is it for your offense to jump on it so your defense allows them to do some things?
Yeah, that's always the idea, Lou. You know, we always want to try to play from ahead and get on top early and play our tempo of the game. And, you know, even in the Jets and in the Denver games, the two games that we lost, you know, we had leads. We had leads at the halftime, but we just weren't able to, you know, to score enough points or ultimately hold them to few enough points to win it. But, you know, we've always kind of historically been, you know, a little bit of a good starting team. And we usually are a strong finishing team in the fourth quarter, and so we're trying to do all that. I mean, I know it might look different from week to week, but I tell you, we always try to score first, we always try to get ahead, and we always try to finish strong.
All right, let's take a 90-second break, and then we're right back here with the Coach Bill Belichick live down in Foxborough. Here with Patriots, a Monday on a Tuesday. Freddie's in the house, Lou's in the house,
Lou.
Pete's in the house.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is in the house.
Italian dominated. One question for you, Coach. No, I have a lot of questions, but they won't let me ask one.
oh, my God.
It's 27 parts.
Please.
It continues. It's like a meal for Glenn. It's not one meal. It's all that.
Did Steve write his questions for you this week?
He did, but I can't read them.
He faxed them over to me.
Yeah. What was the Mankin? Jumped off sides a bunch of times. It wasn't a lot of sound. Was it changing the call at the line of scrimmage? Or?
I don't know.
Because he's not English, is he?
No. You know, we had eight penalties on offense, and you know, none on special teams. I mean, on the fake punt, but that was really more of an offensive play, and none on defense. And so, I can't really explain it. We shouldn't have that many penalties, but we did. And you know, some games you have them on one side of the ball or another side of the ball. Sometimes you have a couple, you know, here, a couple there, spread around. Yesterday is one of those days where We had too many on offense, and that hurt us. You know,
because we're
offensively, you know, we're in some long yardage situations. Yeah. We're in some, you know, first and 15, second and 20s, and that, you know, we overcame them a couple times. But boy, you just know in the long run those are drive stoppers, and we can't. You know, we don't want to play that way.
There's no silent count over there because you need it.
Well, no, actually, they. You know, Tampa silent counted the whole game.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Well, when they're in a gun. Yeah.
And it was their home game.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Home crowd. Yeah. Home crowd.
Yeah. But there were times in the game, like during the wave and all that, when it really was loud. I mean, you know, no matter whether you were the home team like Tampa was or the away team like we were, I think both sides needed it.
Yeah, that's what we've heard from people that were over there. They said the crowd was loud, but at weird times.
Right.
You know, not when, you know, one of the quarterbacks was under snap. You know, it was just.
When the game started, it was a
It was just kind of, kind of.
The first I could hear Brady give his cadence in a long time.
We're going to wait till next week to talk about Miami because we have plenty of time to do that with the bye. So let's throw out some general stuff. I wanted to ask you about, as you look at the NFL right now, we talk about parity the last couple of years, and there's no question there's been parity. And yet this year, there seems to be a real separation of good teams and then teams that can't win games right now, which is hard to believe. How much of it is quarterbacks? That you can't win in this league right now. The defenses are far more complicated, much quicker, that you got to have a good, manageable quarterback if you want to win games in this league. It's hard to believe. Is the talent that much different? And we're seeing teams 6-0 and then all these teams that are 0-6, Bill?
Well, I think anytime, you know, you have a young quarterback, that if that quarterback's not ready, which sometimes the young ones are, like Flacco and Matt Ryan and guys like that, you know, you have a kind of an exception there. But, you know, a lot of times that makes it hard to get consistency on offense. But, you know, 2 weeks ago when we played Tennessee, I mean, I know what the score of the game was, but watching them on film, I mean, they could have beat Pittsburgh. They could have, you know, they could have won
the Jets.
Three or four. They fumbled two punts or they beat the Jets.
That's right.
You know, like, that's a good football team. It wasn't the day we played them, but, you know, that's a good football team, and they're a good defensive football team. So, you know, things went right for us, and the score got out of hand, but that team's not going to lose every game.
Speaking of, but how long before a team believes they're bad? You know, you're 0-6, team with good players, and you start, you know, just like a bad team believes they're good when they win a bunch.
Right, yeah, exactly, and you know, that can go the other way, too. And I'm not saying they're going to win every game. I'm just saying Tennessee, talent-wise, is not an 0-6 team. You know, and I don't know about some of the other teams, Kansas City and Washington, and we played them in preseason. But they, you know, there's another talented team. You know, St. Louis. We haven't played all those teams, so I don't know how good they are or aren't. But, you know, Tennessee and Tampa, you know, Tampa has a young team. And I think they're going to, you know, eventually be okay. They have some playmakers on defense. You know, they have, you know, good corners, good safeties. They're pretty aggressive up front. You know, they gave up some plays to us, some big plays, and that really hurt them. But, like, they're not a bad defensive team.
You know, it's tough when
and they have some good backs. You know, they could have beat Carolina last week.
Yeah.
You know, could have beat Carolina.
It's tough when half your players are older than your coach. He's only 33 years old, and he really hasn't had much experience in the NFL. You have to learn decisions fourth down and one when 4 minutes left and down by three touchdowns. Might as well take a shot at it. You know, that's the risk that a coach has to take.
I want to ask you about the defensive coordinator. I know you talked about this, I think, earlier this week or a couple of days ago. Dean Pease now is going to stay up in the press box for the rest of the year, and Matt Patricia is going to stay your linebackers coach on the sideline. Communication process worked better that way for you?
I think it just worked out. You know, Dean's done both. He's been up on, up and down throughout the course of his career. And I just think from a, you know, comfort level of calling the defenses, you know, being able to sort everything out, see the, you know, at the end of the series, kind of see the formations, see the calls, you know, see the way the game's flowing. I think that it's, I think he feels a little more comfortable doing it. And, you know, Matt has been up and down too. So making adjustments on the sideline, I think it's been pretty smooth and both ways. But I just think Dean's a little bit more comfortable up there.
Coach, yesterday a lot of people called, you know, looking for more of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. But it looks like he still struggles kind of pass protection, picking up the blitzes. I imagine that's an important part for your running backs in your offense. And is that something that he can get better at and learn?
Well, it's a very important part of the offense for backs and tight ends to handle blitz pickup. Ben Jarvis does a good job of that, though. He's really, I think, overall his blitz pickup is better than most backs that we've had. And, you know, there's always room for improvement, and everybody's always going to have a bad play on that, but for the most part, he's done a good job there. And I think, you know, he's a guy we all have a lot of confidence in. You know, it was a tough catcher for him on third one. I know that's one he, you know, would normally make. But, you know, he's a good runner. He's good on blitz pickup. He's pretty good in the passing game. He's pretty good on special teams. I mean, he's really a pretty solid player. And he's been like that from day one when he got here last year. So we have a lot of confidence in him. And you know, when we play him, we feel like he's going to get the job done. He usually does.
Bye week comes almost right in the middle of the season. Obviously, you'll spend time getting ready for Miami. How much self-scouting do you do? How much do you go back and look at what you guys have done to this point?
Well, we definitely do that, and this is a good week to spend it. We do it every week, but this week's time to spend a little bit more time on it, not only just looking at the numbers, but actually going back and looking at the plays, you know, where you can really see sometimes plays work or don't work, and they, you know, skew the stats a little bit. You know, it's like baseball. You know, you could be hitting the heck out of the ball and hitting, you know, line drives that are outs, and you know eventually they're going to drop. And it's the same thing. You know, we can have plays that statistically aren't that good, but they're going to be okay. You know, just something happened that just fouled it up, or things that really aren't that good, but for some reason or other they happen to work out okay. And so watching the plays as well as doing the stats is a big part of it this week. And you know, we've made some adjustments on defense over the last couple of weeks too from the Denver game. So, you know, some of that's an ongoing process, but we'll certainly take a closer look at it this week.
What adjustments would you make? It seemed like they were hitting all underneath stuff, you know, consistently, 5-6, running out to the corners and turning around. Would it be jumping on the receivers earlier in that type of defense?
Well, I think we've changed our coverages up a little bit. We've probably pressured a little bit more. And you know, as you know, we've changed some personnel over the last couple of weeks too. So, you know, some of that's been the matchup. But, you know, I think that's something we need to talk about, is how much we want to do that going forward and how much, you know, we don't want to do that. You know, I don't think we can play every team the same way. I mean, you look at some of the teams we have coming up. You have teams that are probably amongst the best running teams in the league, and you have a couple teams that are the best passing teams in the league. And then, you know, you have one team that's scoring more points than anybody scored in the league. So, you know, those are some different challenges, but I'm just saying, I think using some of our younger people, guys that showed up in the game like Chung, like Myron Pryor, you know, guys like that. Bulmer's gotten, you know, a decent amount of playing time here. You know, we've gotten Butler. You know, we've got more younger players playing, and, you know, they've, for the most part, they've done a decent job, and I think they're getting better. So, you know, how much their roles expand, and a little bit of that's a game plan thing, but it's also, you know, part of the evolution of the season.
I know you told us at the beginning of the year that you keep some stuff back and you roll out some of your play, especially on the offensive side, as the season progresses on. Do you develop stuff in the middle of the season based on personnel? If you suddenly discover that I got a certain guy, this guy's got this skill level, we can do something with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's no way to get your whole offense in by opening day. And you don't want it in.
Right.
You know, you have your basic stuff in, and then as you go through the year, you add things. You add things weekly, and by the 16th week, you have a lot more offense and a lot more defense than you do at the beginning. And so does the other team, because when you look at the other team on film, whoever you're playing, you see them accumulate, you know, new blitzes, new fronts, new formations, new plays. And so the preparation increases weekly because you just have more things to get ready for. And as their younger players develop and they get confidence in them, then they start plugging them into the system. You know, like Stroud, or for example, with Tampa Bay, you know, becoming more involved the last couple of weeks, both in the return game and offensively. So, you know, you have to defend those things as well as attack with them. So that's all part of it, too.
With the young group in there, it's almost like the first few games, like preseason, you're still looking at your DBs and your linebackers and trying to make Guyton play a little more outside this week.
Right.
Add speed to the linebackers, and you change the DBs again. So it's evolving every week. You know, new receivers, a guy come in, Galloway, they couldn't play, and you have to replace them. So is this as much as it's been as far as you playing where it's the team hasn't solidified, you know, moving two corners and putting two new ones in, taking outside linebacker, changing?
Oh, yeah. I think, really, when you look at our defensive team, it's there's not a lot of guys that were playing here 3 years ago. You know, I mean, there's a few in there, but not too many. And the younger guys are, you know, not just younger, but, you know, players like McGowan or Lee Bodden, guys like that they're not young, but they're, you know, they've got experience in the league, but they're new to this team. And it's all starting to, you know, gel together, our communication, our ability to disguise coverages, disguise defense, time things up, you know, work together on different formation adjustments and all. That's certainly getting better, and it's gotten better over the last couple of weeks. Players are working hard at it, and we've seen some improvement. We've got to continue it.
Lawrence Maroney continues to be seems to be the one lightning rod amongst fans anyway, the cause that we get. No, I'm just asking you because the guy has tremendous skills in a lot of areas, but he's just frustrating to watch at times. Do you feel that he does need to get more consistent as far as moving the ball down the field and not so much the pitter-pattering that we talk about, it seems, on a weekly basis?
Well, I mean, I think every player can improve, and that includes Lawrence and everybody else. But I'd say for the most part that, You know, Lawrence has done a pretty good job of running the ball for us this year. I don't have a lot of issues with that. What I'd really like to see is us, you know, open some bigger holes. You know, create some plays that give the backs a little bit more space and be able to get in them and let them run. You know, I think back to the play, a couple of plays that Lawrence had in the scramble situations against
Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've got them the ball in space, yep. And, you know, we've thrown screen passes to Kevin and Sammy and the wide receivers, and, you know, and that's not really his position. He's not a wide receiver. But, you know, when you get the ball to a good runner out in space, those guys have the ability to make some yards, and Lawrence has done that. But, you know, as I said, those scramble plays are good examples, or, you know, last week against Tennessee. So, you know, I mean, he can do a better job. We can block better, and hopefully we can design some plays that'll create more opportunities for him and everybody else.
He does seem to be a little more sure-handed catching the ball than he had in the past few years.
Yeah, I think he's worked hard in the passing game, and we have confidence throwing the ball. All of our backs are handle the ball well. You know, we, knock on wood, you know, we haven't fumbled. We haven't turned it over much. And they've caught the ball pretty well in the passing game. And, you know, when they've had a chance to run, I think they've run well. And we just aren't running the ball this year as well as we did last year.
But it seems like Kevin Falk can fit through a mouse hole. I mean, his forte is like Thurman Thomas. They find, you know, the crack and get through it quicker, whereas Maroney seems to be more upright when he's looking for the hole, as opposed to, well, of course, Falk's a little tiny guy, too. He can see a different level. But his ability to find a hole and squirt through it is amazing. And then you watch Maroney, and he's upright kind of left and right. Looking more.
Yeah, well, again, when not taking anything away from Kevin, because he's an outstanding runner and he's got great vision. But when Kevin's in the game, it's usually in a more of a passing situation, and we're more of a spread out offense, and that creates more space for him and the running game. And a lot of times, you know, the defense isn't as concerned about the running game. Whereas the majority of Lawrence's plays come when there's more people on the defense that are defending the run. And not that makes any difference to him. He's got to run where the holes are anyway. But, you know, we got to block him better, and we got to create more space for him than what we've been able to do.
You said something earlier. You said that they came out in an 8-man front. Are they looking to put more pressure on Brady and make him make mistakes? What would obviously, with the team that you have, you can spread it out and make them.
Well, I'd say, as much as anything, they played us kind of more like Denver did. Mm-hmm. They played us with Piscatelli trying to drop into the front and try to, you know, stay over the top of Randy and not give up any big plays to him, and that type of philosophy, which is similar to what Denver did.
The difference was
in this game, yeah, well, we made some big plays. We, you know, didn't get bogged down in the red area, and in the end, we made enough big plays in the passing game to score a bunch of points, and that's just what we didn't do in Denver. And we had, as we all know, we had some opportunities in the Denver game to hit some bigger plays, and we didn't capitalize on them. For the most part, you know, Sunday we did.
I was just going to ask you, how often do you see that when you come out, first couple series, you say to yourself, that's exactly what Denver was running 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. You're sitting there watching all of the film on a specific team, and yet they're mirroring what a team did successfully against you 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well,
see that a lot?
Well, I think we've seen it since Randy's been here. You know, up until Randy got here, we never saw the kind of attention and defensive rotation and deep coverage that we've seen since Randy got here in 07. And Randy and I talked about that, and we spent a lot of time talking about that and talking about, you know, Randy saying, well, this is what I see, and this is how teams play me, and it's usually either this, that, or another thing. And we've talked a lot about that. And then in the 07 season and even last year and this year, that's really true. You know, he gets played one of, you know, two, three, four ways, depending on what the other defense's system is, or the coordinator, or, you know, however they want to handle it. And, you know, it's usually, and regardless of how they play other people or other teams, and not there aren't other great receivers, but, you know, there's a lot of defenses that it's with Moss in mind.
You know, thank God you gave him a chance.
if you see other
great receivers out there, you know, the Donald Drivers and Johnson at Houston and Lee Evans and you know, I'm not saying that. Yeah, Fitzgerald, but and not that those guys don't get a lot of coverage, I'm not saying that, but the way they play Randy and the way they play the other receivers isn't always the same. We try to look at that. You know, we say, okay, well, you know, how did they play Fitzgerald, or how did they play, you know, Johnson, or how did they play Ocho Cinco? You know, how did they play those guys? But a lot of times the way we get it is more, you know, it's how they want to play Randy. So
if you had to have a game this week, how healthy would your team be? You know, certain running backs and a certain defensive lineman, would they be able to play?
You get that, Pete?
I like that, Pete.
It is what it is.
I like it.
Wednesday.
Pete, that's a great question.
Very leading.
I think that certainly the guys that didn't play are healthier than they were last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a physical game. I think we got some guys with some bumps and bruises. In all honesty, we got back late Monday. Players are off today. And so we'll kind of see where everybody's at. But I think if we had to play this week, you know, we'd show up for the game. I think we'd be there.
You had some moves in wide receiver. You know, Galloway is gone here. Edelman gets hurt. You got activate Tate, and you got Sam Aiken. What are those two guys? Is it pretty much a split, that third wide receiver spot? And what do each of those guys bring to the team when they are on the field? The differences.
Well, yeah, they're, you know, I think they're pretty different receivers. It's an interesting mix, really, Lou. You know, Sam's is a big physical player, and he's very strong. He's a powerful guy, and we saw on Sunday that he has pretty good speed too. He can run, but he's a strong guy and he's tough. Tate's is more of a receiver, and he's a returner. Very good with the ball in his hands, good running skills, quick. You know, we saw him get behind the defense on a deep pass that Tlaib intercepted, but you know, that was a good move. So, you know, he's a little bit more of a perimeter receiver, I would say, a guy that can get down the field with good quickness and run after the catch skills. You know, Sam's a bigger, more physical guy, blocker. And so if you're a defensive back, it's a different matchup. You know, those smaller guys have trouble matching up against Aiken because of his size and power. The bigger guys that aren't as quick or aren't as fast have trouble matching up against Tate because of his speed and quickness. So I think they bring little different skills, but, you know, both are, you know, I think pretty accomplished in what they do. They both, you know, certainly have a ways to go to develop, particularly Tate. But, you know, they can certainly attack attack the defense differently.
All right, next week it's bye week, Miami the following week. So we'll see you back here on Monday, and we'll break down those Dolphins.
All right, sounds good, Glenn. Okay, Pete, Fred, Lou, good to be with you.